Let's bow before our God one more time in prayer before we look to the Word this morning. Let's pray. Gracious Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. During the past week, I have had, and likely you have had also, many different conversations with various people, for myself especially, many different conversations from people in the church family. Many different conversations. I've talked with some who are facing serious medical challenges. We've prayed for some of those even moments ago. I've talked with people who came to me this week with questions about particular Bible verses or Bible texts and had wonderful discussions with them. I've talked with people this week who are grieving loss. I've talked with people at the other end of the spectrum in very lighthearted fashion in a few occasions this week. I've also talked to people and who are asking for advice or counsel on some particular situation that was coming upon them. And as I say, I suspect that each one of you have had many such occasions yourself, even in this past week, to have those different sort of conversations with various people. But here's my question by way of introduction this morning. What do all of those situations, thinking particularly of those things that I've been involved with, what do all of those situations have in common? And the answer I'm going to give you is an incredibly obvious one, so obvious that you might not think of it. What do all of those situations have in common where I was talking to those people in such conversations? They all involved... Here's what they had in common. They all involved my tongue. They all involved speech. They all involved conversation from one to another. And in these cases, from me, and in particular, if you'll allow me in these situations, in particular as pastor to those who are under my care. For it is by the tongue and by speech that we interact, that we relate to one another, even at the level of simply people, as humans. We interact, we relate primarily through speech, but more importantly, as those of us who are, as the series, this sermon series is entitled, Life in the Household of God, as those of us who are living life together in the household of God, so much of our ministry to one another, and certainly so much of my ministry to you in discussions with you as pastor here, along with Pastor Peter and Elder Coyote and Elder Walt, so much of our discussions with you, but indeed so much of our discussions and conversation with one another, so much of our ministry, I should say, with one another, is through the tongue, through conversation, one with the other. That has been my past week. That is my week, from week to week, every week. But also in this past week, providentially, I happen to be, for it is providential, that in my daily readings in the Scripture this past week, some of my daily readings have been in the book of James, the New Testament book of James. And if you are familiar with the book of James, as I know many of you are, I suspect that two of the things that would immediately come to mind, at least these two things, that would immediately come to mind when you think of the book of James are as follows. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And then also a little bit later on, that faith without works is dead. What's that got to do with what you're talking about this morning? Well, providentially, I was in there this week in the book of James, and I noticed once again what is interesting for us this morning is what immediately comes after both, or each, I should say, of those texts. Immediately after, be doers of the word and not hearers only, comes James 1:26. Immediately afterwards, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And then in chapter 2, James goes on to speak about faith without works being dead. And following that, immediately at the beginning of chapter 3, he gives a long instruction, a long teaching on the dangers and blessings, but mainly the dangers that are involved in the use of the tongue. In both cases, James immediately follows up with discussions and instructions regarding our speech, regarding our tongue. Why is that? Because of what I said moments ago, and say to you again, because it is by the tongue and by our speech one to another within the household of God that for better or for worse, we interact with each other. For better or for worse, primarily through the tongue, we minister to one another. And thus, in our text this morning, in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 this morning, continuing on our series in life in 1 Timothy, in life in the household of God, this morning, and if you happen to have the outline in front of you, you will notice the subheading to the introduction is talk or speech in the household of God. For that is what Paul is speaking of to Timothy, and primarily to speech as the pastor to those who are under his care. And so let me say this at the outset, and then I'm going to repeat it a number of times as I want to do through the message, but each time building on it somewhat. Hear me, that in the church, in the household of God, as in any family, the purpose of our speech, the purpose of our speaking to one another is or ought to be to strengthen, to encourage, to minister. To strengthen, to encourage, and to minister. In the church, in the household of God, as in any family, the purpose of our speech is to do just that. So now we move into our text this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And as we do so, I would point out to you this morning that there is within this, albeit very short text, but one commandment, one imperative in this text this morning. Actually, in our English versions, there is one spoken negatively and one spoken positively. But actually, there is one commandment in this text this morning. And it comes in that first verse, exhort. Exhort, Paul says to Timothy. But the point I want to make by way of introduction further this morning, as we are now launching into that text, is this commandment, as in previous, the last few weeks in 1 Timothy, we have seen commandments on a few occasions, but these commandments, and again this morning, the commandment is addressed to you singular, as it were, not you plural. What do I mean by that? It is addressed to Pastor Timothy, not to the entire Ephesian church where Timothy is ministering. These are instructions regarding speech, regarding the tongue, as Pastor Timothy ministers to the Ephesian church. Instructions with regards to how the pastor is to speak to and minister through his tongue to those under his care. But also, note two other things. Also, implicitly, therefore, there are instructions here implicitly with regards to how the flock, as it were, to those people who are under the care of the pastor or the elder, are to receive that speech, are to receive that which comes from those tongues. But also, And furthermore, as in past weeks, though this command, this imperative, exhort, and then he goes on to unpack that, though this command comes to Pastor Timothy, it at the same time goes beyond Pastor Timothy, goes beyond the pastor, goes beyond the elder, goes beyond your pastors and elders here at Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, and indeed comes down in this text to the Ephesian church where Pastor Timothy was, and comes down to all of us. That as the pastor leads, as the elder serves as an example, as they are to do, as they serve as an example to the flock, these instructions, this commandment of exhorting and how to exhort through our tongues comes to all of us. So, again, let's launch further into it. How is the pastor, how is the elder to speak to the flock? Well, Paul begins here in verse 1, bearing in mind chapter 4, verse 12. Just cast your eye up the page a little bit there to last time we were in 1 Timothy a couple of weeks ago. That just up the page in chapter 4, verse 12, we see and are reminded there that Timothy was at least a relatively young man. And therefore, down here in our text, in chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, as Paul begins his instructions to Pastor Timothy on how to address the flock, he begins with how to address older men. And he says there, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him. We will continue on. But for now, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him. Now, the first question that pops into my mind, and you know how I love to ask questions of the text. So here's the question that we ought to be asking right now. Why would Pastor Timothy even want to rebuke an older man? Why is Paul saying this to him? Why is he warning him of that? And here's the answer. Because pastors and elders are at times called to admonish, called to correct. It's part of the job description. There's the job description. But indeed, believers in general, when they see a brother or sister who is erring, it is our responsibility. Certainly, first of all, the responsibility of the pastor or elder, but also, indeed, the responsibility of a believer when they see a brother or sister going astray, there is a responsibility to correct. And Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, where Paul is speaking to the Galatians, gives this instruction there. We're just going to pause a moment and go there to Galatians. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Pastors are shepherds, which is what a pastor is, shepherds are required, though it is difficult at times, to admonish, to correct. And believers are responsible. Those who are spiritual, as it says there in Galatians 6:1, are responsible when they see one overtaken in a sin, in a trespass, to seek the restoration of that one. But it is to be done. Notice what Galatians 6 says. Note that it is to be done in a spirit of gentleness, i.e., not rebuking, but in a spirit of gentleness. And also, and this is so important, it's certainly so important to me, considering our own sin, considering our own need at times to be corrected ourselves. But in that, twin spirit, if you will, a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of recognizing who we are. We, first of all, as believers, but also, especially, pastors slash elders, shepherds, are to correct and do so in that way. Thus, back in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2 once again, Pastor Timothy is instructed here by Paul not to rebuke an older man. And indeed, not to rebuke, but especially beginning with those older men. And I want to pause again here before going on and acknowledge something else that is clearly in the text, though it is not implicitly stated, or explicitly, I should say, explicitly stated. It is very much there, I think, for us. What is very apparent here is the respect that needs to be shown and ought to be present towards mature believers, towards seniors, towards mature believers, towards those senior saints who've been walking with the Lord for many years. I was delighted. This was not planned, but hopefully you heard it, that Elder Coyote, as he led us in the pastoral prayer a few minutes ago, how he prayed for the seniors and how he mentioned there, did you hear it? How he mentioned this very thing. It was wonderful. I certainly caught it. These mature believers who serve as examples for us to follow after. Thank you, Elder Coyote, for drawing our attention to that very point that I am making now. When I first came here, when Bev and I first came to Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist just over 7 years ago now, there were many seniors present here in the church. In fact, I felt rather youthful in those days. And though we have wonderfully added many families to our mix, some of whom are away this morning, and as is common on Thanksgiving, we lose some and we gain some, and we welcome those who are visiting with us this morning. But though we have gained wonderfully, and we acknowledge this time and time again, don't we? We acknowledge how blessed we are to have all of these families and young children now in our midst, and youth in our midst, and how thankful we are for that. Yet, nevertheless, we continue not only to love, but also to respect our more mature believers, our seniors, who have been walking with the Lord for many years, who serve as an example for us. We love, but we also respect and esteem, highly esteem those ones. Even as we see here, do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him. So we continue on. Paul says that to Timothy, to Pastor Timothy, don't rebuke as you correct, but rather exhort. Rebuke is a very strong word as it's given here. Indeed, it's a very harsh word. Literally, it has the idea of to strike down. So to hear would be to strike down upon that person, to strike upon that person with your words, to pound into them and to strike them with your words. Thus, don't correct them, Paul says, in that way. Rather, exhort them. The ESV, in place of exhort, says encourage. The New American Standard says, in place of exhort, appeal to them. This word, indeed, as you can see, has a wide range of meanings. This word that is translated in the New King James, exhort, it actually has a wide range of nuances and meanings. It does include admonish, but it also includes encourage, appeal to. It also even goes as far as to include console or comfort. You can see a wide range of nuances to this. Why am I drawing your attention to that? Two reasons. Number one, I want you to see, especially given the context that comes before, do not rebuke, that I think included still here in this word exhort that Paul uses, that included there is still the idea of admonishing and correcting. It is still included there. For as we've said before, this is the duty, the difficult duty of the pastor, of the elder. And so he says again there that they are to correct, they are to admonish. But don't do it that way, rebuking. Instead, do it this way, with gentle exhortation to them and encouragement to them. We admonish, but we admonish with gentleness, remembering our own weakness. And number two, the second reason I speak of the wide nuances of this word that we have before us, exhort, the other reason is that this word also includes, as I've said, the many other ways, in addition to admonish, the many other ways that we minister to one another by our tongues, that we do correct, but also we encourage, we appeal, we instruct, we remind, and we do console and even comfort. Therefore, here we go again, folks, for the second time. Therefore, in the church, in the household of God, as in any family, the purpose of our speech need always be to strengthen, to encourage, and to minister. The next thing that is quite obvious but very noteworthy as we continue on in the text is Timothy says to exhort, but he says to exhort these older men as a father. That is, as we've spoken of already, respectfully. But then he goes on and says younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. What's the point here? That our language, certainly to begin with, the pastor in his ministry through his tongue to those under his care, ought always to be a ministry by the tongue that reflects the fact that we are family. And indeed, all of your conversations, hear me, all of your words, one to another, are to be words that minister, and to minister to those people, recognizing that they are family. They are family. We speak differently when we speak to family members, don't we? And why is that? Because they're family. We speak differently to family members. Not that I'm giving you permission to speak just any which way to all other people. Of course, all of our speech ought to be seasoned with grace. But nevertheless, we speak differently when it comes to family. All of our speech, therefore, to others in our church family, needs to recognize that very fact, that we are speaking to family, we are speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are bound together in that way as brothers and sisters. We use that language, as I have commented before, we use that language a great deal here at Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, of brothers and sisters. You'll hear me say that all the time. You'll hear Pastor Peter say that all the time. We do so very deliberately for this reason, that we want you to recognize and hear this morning in 1 Timothy chapter 5 that as you speak to one another, you're speaking to family. Indeed, more than that, you're speaking to your church family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. And those bonds, as I've said before, I say again now, those bonds are stronger than any other earthly bonds. The bonds that you have to those others around this room here. Therefore, here we go again. Therefore, in the church, in the household of God, as in any family, the purpose of our speech need always be to strengthen, to encourage, and to minister, and to do so, therefore, lovingly and graciously as to family. And finally in our text this morning, Paul goes on and says, and to do so in all purity, he says. As he mentions at the end, going on from older men to exhort them as fathers, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters. And as he speaks of Timothy, this young man, speaking to younger women, he adds on there, and his mind, you can see exactly the direction Paul's mind goes. Paul adds on there, this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, tacks on this very important instruction that he is to do so with all purity. And obviously, I think it's obvious, that first and foremost, what Paul has in his mind as he is thinking of this, as soon as he writes down younger women as sisters, Paul is thinking and instructing Timothy to always have in his speech to these younger women purity in the sexual realm, to have sexual purity in all that he says and in all of his relationships with these younger women. As a pastor, but also as a husband, also as a man, quite simply, I have a number of rules or guidelines in my life that I try always to follow for being careful is so, so very crucial. To illustrate this in a different realm, but the application is here, indeed in all realms. I recall from years ago, back at the university where I served for many years, I recall hearing a story. I was not part of this, but I recalled hearing a story of another professor who was driving home on the highway at the end of the day and was passed by another car, and the car was filled with a number of students. And the students passed by the professor, and they saw him, and they waved over at the professor. And then the next day in the class, as they gathered with this one, they actually teased him a little bit. The students teased the professor because I guess he was going exactly the speed limit on the highway. So they teased him a little bit about that. And I heard his reply, though, and this is the point I want to make. I heard his reply. I've never forgotten his reply. I heard it secondhand, but here it is. It was something like this. The professor probably laughed with him at himself, but then he tacked on wonderfully. He said, I try always to practice discipline and to practice obedience even in the small things and the little things. Because then when the big things come along, it is much easier then to obey. Wise words. Paul says to Timothy, to Pastor Timothy, exhort younger women as sisters with all purity. But before we leave that, and as I've given that illustration, further on with that illustration, which applies so widely, let me also say that this thought, I think, applies wider than that. What do I mean? I mean that as exhort, which came towards the beginning of verse 1, not only applied to the older men and the younger men and the older women and the younger women, but even so, exhorting younger women in all purity at the end of the text also works its way backwards up through the text. That not only with the younger women and not only with regards to sexual purity, but in all of our relationships, he says, first of all, to Pastor Timothy, in all of your relationships, in all of your words, make sure these are words of purity. Make sure your life is one of purity in all ways. A sense of cleanliness, a sense of sinlessness, in all of your life. And therefore, and here we go again, in the church, in the household of God, as in any family, the purpose of our speech is to strengthen and encourage and minister, and needs to be so in all of our speech. And to do so lovingly and graciously as to family, but also to do so, to exhort in that way, in all purity. In conclusion then this morning, in all, ... is what appears in your outline. The reason I'm laughing is the ... is there simply because I couldn't fit the rest of it in. So here it is now. In all directions, in all relationships, in all situations, in all of our speech, these instructions indeed come to all of us. In all directions. Though the instruction comes to, as I've said a couple of times, first and foremost to Pastor Timothy, nevertheless, as Pastor Timothy leads, as elders and pastors, as they are instructed to do and given this heavy responsibility of being an example, as awesome a responsibility as that is, it is a biblical responsibility of the pastor slash elder. And as they do so, these instructions again come down to us all. And what does that mean? It means the following. Even as the pastor admonishes with all gentleness and corrects with all gentleness, recognizing their own sinfulness, that we also need at times to be corrected, to be admonished, to have that done to us, not only in that direction, but also coming back to the pastor, to the elder, in all gentleness, that sort of exhortation. There have been times indeed when, as a pastor here at Fellowship Baptist Church, I have had to admonish, I have had to correct. That's not easy. But to not do so as a pastor is to fail as a pastor. Though it is difficult, we must do so. But here's my point. In almost all of those situations, I have been amazed. I have been truly amazed and blessed by the gracious way my words have been received. And as such, it has been a lesson to me in turn, in all directions, that as I am in need of correction, as I am in need of admonishing, that I also receive in kind. But not only admonishing, not only correcting, what have we been saying? That in all of our speech, Paul says admonishment and correction he speaks of here, but he also speaks of encouragement. He also speaks of reminding. He also speaks of instruction. He also speaks of consoling and comforting one another. In all directions, back and forth, in all of our relationships, and in all of our situations, and in all of our speech. That such speech, and hear me, folks, this is my desire for myself, this is my desire for Fellowship Baptist Church, that such speech characterize Fellowship Baptist Church. In all the words that proceed out of your mouth to one another, that it be characterized by this loving, gentle exhortation to one another. That such speech characterize Cranbrook Fellowship Baptist Church, that such speech characterize life together in the household of God. In all directions, in all relationships, in all our speech, and here we go for the final time this morning. Therefore, in the church, in the household of God, as in any family, the purpose of our speech, every word, is to strengthen, to encourage, to minister, to do so lovingly and graciously, as to family, as to those bound to you with bonds that are deeper than any other bonds. To do so lovingly and graciously, to do so in all purity, in every way. From past the salt on soup Sunday morning. You wondered where I was going with that, didn't you, when I said past the salt? From past the salt on soup Sunday morning to my sermons from this pulpit each and every Sunday, to a phone call I make on a Thursday evening. My desire is, and hear me, my desire is, and I know I fall so far short, but my desire is, my prayer is, that increasingly every word that I speak would be offered up as a loving and gracious exhortation, be it an admonishment, be it a comfort and a consolation, that in all of my words to those who are under my care, along with my fellow pastors and elders, to all under our care, that each one of our words would minister to people. May they be gospel words. And finally then, for you as well, may every conversation that takes place here in Fellowship Baptist Church, before and after the service, in the parking lot, and all the way through the week, may every word that is spoken between us be so. Let's pray. Gracious Father, I began our time in the Word this morning with this prayer, and thus I end also in this way. May it be that the words of our mouths, as well as the meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, and may they be for the building up of the saints, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.